Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max?
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the max. Zach, how's it doing today? How's it going today?
Max, it's been, 10 seconds? We've already muffled the intro. It's doing good today.
I think it is doing good.
Yeah.
I think this is the new way we're going to start the podcast.
Yeah. Hey guys, doing good. See you later.
Hope you guys are doing good. I think that sounds fine. Yeah, who cares about grammar? Grammar doesn't matter because we're on a science podcast, not a grammar podcast.
Yeah, English, it's not important.
I hate to wonder, but do you think any grammar podcasts exist? If so, we should go leave negative reviews on them.
I wouldn't mind a mass report of hate comments underneath a grammar podcast telling them how useless they are.
As a mob boss might say, it would be a shame if there was a sudden influx in hate comments on it. It would be a shame.
It'd be a shame. We'd never want to see that happen.
But actually, we have a topic that's not committing hate comments on people's channels. We're actually going to be talking a little bit about the COVID-19 variants.
Yay, happy times, just when we thought we were out of here. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like that stuff we said about at the 2020 year-end podcast was true, that COVID didn't just go away. Man, that's so weird, Zach. I really thought it would have gone away.
I know, what the heck? 2020, what's 2021 now? Why isn't it gone? What, is it like on a timer or something?
I don't know, Zach.
Well, you explain to me, Max. Why isn't COVID going away?
Well, I mean,
besides the obvious reasons.
Oh, well, the obvious reasons are the reasons it hasn't gone away. I mean, the poor response to it still, if you really want it to go away, we're not going to really extinguish it. But I think the goal is just to get enough immunity that the people who are actually, like, at risk of it can feel good to go out. Because a lot of the time, what we're doing is trying to protect the people who are at risk. I mean, we're not really at risk.
Not as much as others.
But our job is to protect the people who are at risk, like old people.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't like Australia and New Zealand completely COVID-free?
Well, because they did that full shutdown at the beginning, which was I think that's the way we should respond to any virus. And then we have to obviously analyze it because, you know, if we're dealing with something more deadly, you want to keep in that. If we're dealing with something that's not that deadly, well, we should probably reevaluate. But I think that's a good first move that they did. And it was really smart just to full lockdown at the beginning because that really, you know, helps you get the time that you need to actually analyze the problem.
Helps everyone. Well, it helps isolate
the virus.
Who has it.
Yeah.
You can figure that out. You can treat them, and then everyone else can go back to life, which is what they did. But no, we're still here.
I hate when people say that, like, lockdowns don't work, because the reason they don't work is because people exist. But in essence, lockdowns should work.
They work if people listen.
But the problem is people exist, Zach, and people don't like to listen.
That's a good point. People suck.
Because, like, hypothetically, we want to get rid of COVID. Everyone stays inside for a month. I know it's a lot of time, but if we really wanted to get rid of it and we didn't care about people's mental health and
eating,
but if everyone stayed inside for like a month,
it'd be gone.
It'd be absolutely gone.
They'd be able to isolate who has it.
And then just shut those people down, and you'd probably go through the full virus by that point. And if you had, obviously, you'd take the people to the hospital that had it bad. And then those people quarantine after, you know.
Exactly.
But, we're not here to critique how we're supposed to deal with it. We're here to talk about the variant. So you have some questions prepared, as I'm acting as the complete authority on this subject here, Zach.
Yeah, we actually are joined by Dr. Fauci. I'm joined with him here today. He's
going to
be...
So, Anthony, how is it going?
Yeah. No, Max.
Is it fine for me to call you Tony?
Yeah. We're on a first base basis, or first name basis with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Basically, he's kind of smarter than you. Huh?
whoa, Zach! Whoa!
I mean, he should be the one giving the briefings in the White House. I think that would be more of a better deal.
I mean, I think he'd have more gravitas, perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Probably could get more people to listen.
I think the first thing to say before we actually get into any like the information about it is kind of though that we have still a incomplete understanding of these variants, because you know. We've only really known, obviously we knew these exist, but we've only had, you know, so long to actually study them and stuff, especially the newer ones that are cropping up, so Everything we say could change if new information comes up, which I'm sure it will. But you know,
take all this with a grain of salt,
or a pinch of coronavirus.
Oh, you got him there.
I did.
Good one. All right. Well, Max, tell me, or sorry, Dr. Fauci.
Oh, okay.
Tell me, what is it?
How can I mimic his voice?
I don't even remember what he sounds like.
I can't do it either. So, what are the variants? So the variants are a mutation of the original coronavirus, or actually the correct term would be the COVID-2, the SARS-CoV-2, which is the actual like virus that causes the COVID-19, right? So it's a mutation off that gives it different properties, right?
So what would one of these variants be called?
So I don't actually know the names of them because there's quite a few, but however you name virus mutations, that's how you name them.
Yeah, thanks guys for listening. It's been fun.
It's been fun.
You heard everything there is to hear here. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We'll be back.
I think more important than actually giving you the names of the viruses, I think it's more important just to talk about the actual important variations that have come up and where they're from. Would you agree with that?
Well, enlighten me. Enlighten us.
So I think the main three variants that we're dealing with right now are the Brazilian, South African, and UK variant. Now, the UK variant is probably the most prevalent, and then South African, because the Brazilian one is the newest, and therefore the least is known about it. So I think, should I start off with the UK variant?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go to dangerous to least dangerous. How about that?
So, okay, most dangerous, then we're going to start off with actually the Brazilian one, because although the least is known about it, studies so far have shown that there's actually a different way with its genetic folds, and I can get into how it mutates like into these positions in the first place in a little bit, but basically it folds its code differently, which makes it harder for the body and the vaccines to recognize, and I'm sure you'll probably want to know a little bit more about how these variants are going to actually affect vaccines and people who have immunity.
But we'll get there.
But basically, what it has is its spikes, which is, like, they don't actually look like spikes, but it's just kind of the best visual representation. The part of the virus that latches onto the cells, it looks different and acts differently, which allows it to infect and be undetected partially to cells and antibodies that already have experienced COVID-19. And this is why I think it's the most dangerous one that we know and that is the most prevalent right now, because you could have already beaten COVID-19 and could still get this one.
Well, isn't that true for all cases? You could beat COVID and then get it again? Or is this easier to get COVID?
This one's the easiest to get COVID because it's so different. Like, obviously, I think there's still a chance to get even regular COVID after a certain period of time, but this one you could probably get it, like, right after you got your immunity to coronavirus, like, in the first place. So, like, this is why it's dangerous, because your body just won't be able to react properly to it as it would to, like, the original strain.
So would that mean a second vaccine would be necessary?
See, the thing is, a second vaccine would be cool to deal with it better. However,
Pfizer 2.0.
I heard there's a lot of problems, actually, with Pfizer and dealing with the vaccines, actually.
Money.
But basically, the vaccines work to a certain extent, because it is still the same virus, but the mutations allow it to partially escape. So you won't get the same level of a virus. Like, if COVID would leave you in bed for 2 days, instead it'd probably only leave you in bed for like a day. You know, it's a partial reaction. You still will get, you know, feel quite ill probably and stuff.
You'll get some of the same side effects. Jeez, side effects.
But it's just not the same level, because the body knows how to deal with it to an extent. It's just harder to recognize for a lot of them, which makes it, you know, more deadly.
So with that in mind, are these really important? Should we be worried about these?
I think that especially if we leave them unchecked, they could mutate even further into ones that are almost completely unrecognizable and have a possibility of becoming more deadly. In fact, some studies from the UK variant, which I think is the next one, have showed that it might be up to 30% more deadly. Again, this is preliminary data.
I mean, it's only comparing to how many people it's probably gotten to.
And it's hard to say right now, because it could have infected people, like...
Could have infected 10 and killed 8.
And how do you judge, like the virulence, which is the deadliness of the virus? If it's not, like, can you say it's more deadly? If it's killing the same amount, but it's leaving them, like, more, what's the term? I don't know, just, it has a stronger effect. You can't really... work that into the, like, it's hard to know right now, you know?
Can't make any true assumptions yet.
We need, just like with when the original virus came out, we're gonna need a lot more information to properly assess these. But something that is a lot more corroborated, is that the term?
We'll go with it.
Well, basically something that's a lot more supported at this point is the fact that the UK variant is a lot more transmissible. And
that's bad.
That's bad because even if it's not more deadly, like even if it's still infects and kills one out of whatever a million people. I'm just giving a random number here. But let's say it infects, kills one out of every, you know, 1,000 people, right? It will still kill one out of 1,000 people, but instead of only infecting 1,000 people in you know a week, you'll get, you know, up to, you know, 1,500 people, up to 2,000. So, you know, you'll be more deaths even if it's not as deadly, which is kind of meaning it is more deadly in the long haul.
But until we do get to the long haul, we can't really make any assumptions.
And I guess that is the thing. We have to take the variant day by day as of right now. Because we just got to keep understanding them better, working to track them, working to figure out where the next mutations are, and trying to learn, like, what these mean for the future. Yeah.
Yeah, well, with that in mind, is this really going to kill us? Like, we've been in COVID for about a year. I mean, lockdown, 9 months? And now we're just getting word of these new variants, and, well, it looks like we're going to have... Well, I mean, the proper response would be to go back into lockdown again until you've isolated it.
See, I have a personal theory about these that I've made off some research, and I want to give you some background information. First of all, the common cold today is a coronavirus, as a fun fact.
You're telling me in my life I've had coronavirus?
Well, probably.
Oh, no.
So basically, what I'm saying is, at some point, it could have been a lot more deadly, and it slowly migrated to the cold. And the same could be true with the coronavirus, and these variants could show us if it's going to choose to go down that path. And eventually, as we establish herd immunity through vaccinations and just infections, it will be true that this will become the common cold at a certain extent. But if these variants decide to move to transmissibility over virulence, it could happen a lot quicker. And so there was this epidemiologist, Paul Ewald, and he developed a thing called the theory of virulence, which is basically just saying a virus has two choices. It can either become more deadly or easier to spread. And I mean, if you think about it, that sounds kind of correct, right? Because Ebola, very deadly, kills its people too quickly to spread. And on the other hand, you have something like the flu. Doesn't kill that many people, but because it has a longer, incubation time, it allows you to spread it more.
Yeah, I can agree with that logic.
So, if coronavirus variants are becoming more spreadable, then we could make an assumption that the virus is going to continue that path, choosing transmissibility over virulence. And I guess the thing is, these variants, because they're going to be new, what's going to make it easier for them to spread is if they're transmissible. Because if they kill people, well, they're going to have a hard time, you know, latching a foothold on. Whereas if they're more spreadable, that means the variants will take over and become, you know, a more commonplace thing, but obviously giving the added effect of just being more transmissible and not more deadly. So that's my theory about this. Obviously, I could be wrong. But I think eventually, I think it will end up as the common cold, in my opinion.
In some way or another, long down the road, you think COVID would be more of a natural thing that, oh, I had COVID last week.
Yeah, because I think the thing is, I don't think we're ever going to really get rid of COVID. We're not going to eradicate the disease like smallpox, because it's not as deadly as smallpox, for the first thing, but it's a lot more transmissible, meaning it's going to be a lot harder to eradicate in the first place. So I think the real ending is it is just going to come up like the common cold at a certain point, where it's just something you get.
And then you can go get a vaccine.
Exactly, and we'll have, you know, coronavirus vaccines, and depending on how much it mutates, you might need to get a new one every 5 years or something.
Well, you get a flu shot every year.
Flu shot, you know. It might, I think that's where it's going to end up. But again, the theory of virulence is not always true, because I guess we could look at the Black Death and say, what the hell is that?
Kind of a bit of both.
I mean, that's what made it so deadly. It killed, what?
A third of Europe.
A third of Europe, because it was easy to transmit, and it killed.
We can't call it a Trump syndrome. I mean, they didn't have the best medical treatment back then.
That is true, and it was in a lot, like, people didn't understand hygiene, so that's why it was a lot easier to transmit, you know?
It was with rats, like, wasn't it?
It was with rats, fleas got into, I mean, I remember one story about a town where there was these fleas that were obviously infected with it, got into a load of the wool they had.
Everyone put it on?
Brought into the city, yeah, and it was just killing them left and right. And actually, it's a really cool story. I can't remember what the town's called, but they had to make a decision to stay and die, pretty much, to prevent the rest of part of England from getting infected, because they were kind of nearby to another large city. Just, yeah.
Right. Oh, a sacrifice.
It's a cool story, but basically, obviously, it wasn't that transmissible, but it's just problems with the time that existed. But it was still a hybrid disease that was far more dangerous because of its, you know, just its duality.
Yeah, obviously, no hate to the Black Plague. No. Still, top 10 virus for sure. Top 5, even.
And I think it shows how viruses can be completely unpredictable, because that one, which is crazy.
Just wipe through all of Europe.
Yeah. I mean, what was the infection rate? Because I know it killed, yeah, one third, right? But
I could pull it up for you, but I'm sure it would have to have been pretty high.
You think it was like, do you think it got up to like two thirds of Europe had it at a certain point? Or is that maybe too much? Well, what was the death rate? Because that would tell us.
Yeah, I could try and pull that up. But yeah. You'd think if it's so deadly, then probably the infection rate is probably somewhere near around the death rate. Because you don't think many people had that with the all the medical usage they had at the time and pulled off and survived.
Yeah, but I still think that, even with that being in mind, I still think that the theory of where this coronavirus is going to go will probably end up there. As a common cold, not going the other direction. Yeah. Hmm. So, where else should we go with this? I mean, any other questions before we head off to break? And then we can obviously pick up later, but...
Well, you talked about Great Britain. And then you said there were a couple more. Do you want to tell me about a couple more of them?
Well, there was the South African variant, which is the third prevalent one. It is in many ways similar to Great Britain at this point. Again, limited data. We know the most about the UK variant. But basically what we can tell is it's far more transmissible and it might have a chance of being harder to detect. So it's kind of running the same thing. Which again, if it is more transmissible, it does lend credit to the theory of where this virus is going to be ending up. Agree?
Yeah, we can go with that.
So I think we're going to head off to break. And when we come back from getting money, we'll talk a little bit more about COVID-19 variants. See ya in a second. And welcome back from our money-making scheme.
Did we get you? I think we got him.
Please don't tell me you skipped past the ad. That makes us money. Well, used to.
Used to. Good point. Good add-on.
Good add-on. So, Zach, where do you want to pick back up?
Well, we ended with talking about where we're seeing this this variant. So, I guess the next question is, we're seeing it everywhere. How is it going to affect vaccine production? Because now there's a whole different COVID we've got to be ready for.
So, again, as far as we know, I don't think it's going to affect the vaccine too much. Because once you have immunity, you can only get partially affected so far. Obviously, it does pose a threat further down the line. If it mutates more and more, we could end up in a flu vaccine situation where you have to keep pumping out new ones. And that doesn't sound like a good thing, because then that means more vaccines we'll need every single year. But hopefully it will mean that you don't need too many changes down the road. But I think overall, it shouldn't mean too much for vaccines, because I just don't think the mutation's going to be too much to make it really hard to detect. And if it does get to that state, I'm sure we can find a way to manufacture a variation of the vaccine that can deal with it. Because at the end of the day, it still has to be COVID-19 to a certain extent, at least for like the time being. I don't think it'll undergo rapid mutations and like become a super virus that's just constantly mutating. I don't think it's going to end up there, at least relatively soon. Yeah.
So with that in mind, is a second vaccine needed? I kind of talked about this earlier, but is it going to be needed now or even later on?
I think later on there's a possibility, but it again depends on the severity of the new virus. Because if the new virus gives you a mediocre response because you have still a semi-partial immunity to it, I don't think a new vaccine is going to be in the minds of vaccine manufacturers nor the governments, especially after, like, you know, just the process of getting everyone a vaccine in the first place, then getting a second set of vaccines to everyone. I don't think it's really, and I think that's what you got to think about it that way. It's not really in the economic or political minds of anyone to do it that way.
Well, then realistically speaking, if someone was to get this COVID variant, would the Pfizer vaccine work?
Obviously, we don't have too much testing on this, but
is there any evidence to suggest that the Pfizer vaccine can prevent you from getting the variant?
I think the evidence so far is saying that it will prevent to an extent. Like, you'll still get it,
but not as much.
Just not as much. I think I touched on this earlier. Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's good to know.
It's good to know, because at the end of the day, you shouldn't be too scared, because you have immunity to the original virus, which is and this is a mutation of it, meaning it still shares some of the same traits. So
I'm just going to stop you right there. We, at To The Max, would advise all our listeners to, if possible, get vaccinated.
Oh, that's a good message. That's a good message.
I think we should have started the podcast with
that. We should have started that, because no one's listening now.
Yeah, no one really makes it this far. But if there are any anti-vaxxers listening, trying to hear our opinions on this take, contact us. Please. Email tothemax09@gmail.com. We will have you on To The
Max Podcast 09.
Yes. Sorry, I muffled it. But please email us. We will take you on this podcast.
And if you know anyone who's an anti-vaxxer, please
send them our way.
Send them our way. We'd love to have one on. I think we should start off our next podcast by just saying this, trying to see if we can get one on, because it'd be really interesting to talk to someone like that.
Exactly. Someone like that? What do you mean? A fine, distinguished person with their own personal views. I think that's the term we should go for. Yeah.
Because, you know, there's definitely no logical reasons. I mean, there's definitely tons of logical reasons that you shouldn't take a vaccine. Definitely, right, Zach?
No, Max, we're trying to get them on here, not trying to push them away.
Okay, so, I mean, there's so many interesting theories. Truthful facts we'd love to hear from these people.
About why vaccines suck.
So,
okay, let us know. If you think everything we're saying here is a load of crap, email us, and we will gladly talk to you.
Please email us.
Yes.
But even if you don't believe that they're crap, just email us.
Just email us. Please. No one makes it here. We're probably not talking to anyone, but please.
So anyways, where were we?
We were going to get back to vaccines. So do you have any numbers on how many vaccines have been made?
I mean, if we're going to move from a little bit off the
very... At least here in Canada.
Here in Canada, I'm not sure. I do know that it's not too many, and I heard there were several issues with both the amount that we were getting from Pfizer.
It's been delayed by like 50%.
It's been delayed by 15%, yeah, something like that. Which is, it's not a good thing, especially because it does, these will still give us the immunity from the variants, and getting the vaccination will hopefully actually curb the spread of these variants as well.
Or so Bill Gates, or actually that's Bill Gates talking back. That's Bill Gates telling you that the vaccine works.
Yeah.
Because Bill Gates has every say in the vaccine at Pfizer.
Definitely. Does he also own the CDC, Zach?
He owns the CDC. He's the head of the world. He has like 5 nukes in his house in Seattle. I mean, it's Bill Gates, Max. He can do anything.
Does he have a lizard army that hides under the sewers?
Yeah. He's okay. Just waiting to call them out.
Okay. Definitely true.
Yeah. No, you come to the Max for facts, and this is what we provide you. We couldn't provide you with anything else.
Why would we lie to you?
Yeah, I have no reason to lie to you. But then, I guess, back to the topic. Now we've kind of talked about what this these variants, a bit of where they will go or how they will proceed in the future. But in your mind, what's going to happen?
Like, do you mean like how long do you think they're going to be with us? Like all that kind of stuff?
Well, you take me down a path. What do you think's going to happen? Are these going to stick around? Are they going to, you think they'll be on them pretty quickly? And do you think they'll progress?
Well, Zach, did you just ask, do you think the government will be on them?
Well, okay, I can figure that one out for myself.
Must I flash back to anything else for you, Zach?
No, they've handled it perfectly fine. I'm sure they'll be right on track on this one. There's clearly no reason to believe that they won't be.
I can almost guarantee these variants will be around longer than the threat of COVID-19, or the diminishing threat of COVID-19. I can guarantee it will not be, almost, I'm probably going to be wrong now that I've guaranteed it.
Quote him on that. Make sure you've got him on record.
Zach, no one's listening. No one can quote me.
That's true. No one's made it this far. The only person, the only evidence is me.
I think that they will be a lot longer. I think that they will become a lot of a annoyance, especially because once we have, have reduced COVID to, as I hope, a common cold, these things will be kind of the annoying little spikes on the otherwise kind of cuddly COVID at that point, because there'll be some that are still deadly and just ways that they'll be able to just fly under the radar and still annoy us. And I think it will take a little bit longer to deal with them as we're still dealing with COVID. Even if we had a perfect response to them, it would be very hard to deal with them as we're still dealing with, the actual original SARS-CoV-2 virus. So I think that it's going to take a little bit of a time just to actually start dealing with them. And it's also a little bit late because a lot of the major viruses, like the very major variants, have actually already landed in the United States and are already kind of, spreading around there. And it would only really work to prevent them from getting there, because now that they're there, it's very hard to stop the spread from happening within the United States, and the United States will definitely spread it to somewhere else. Hopefully not Canada.
Yeah, hopefully it stays out of here, and they can deal with it themselves.
You can only hope.
You can only hope, yeah. What more could we possibly ask for? I mean, then with that in mind, give me a time. When will we be done? When will we be free from no COVID?
I can hardly prophesize actual COVID, much less anything about the variants. But I want to say that the supposed summer deadline, I don't think will be true to any means.
No, you don't think? Well, you sure, Max? You sure?
Based off the pace, and especially if the government is still doing these strange methods in some cases, and hypocritical methods in other places. Cough, cough, hockey, cough, cough, nothing.
When you hear anything, what do you mean?
Nothing.
No, the hockey system works perfectly fine.
And I think that we're already kind of coming out of a bend, at least right now, unless there's another wave, which there could be. Because now that we've cleared the holidays, we're starting to, you know, finish off the holiday spread at this point.
People are having a bit more common sense.
A bit more common sense, and they stop seeing their family. I think we're going to start seeing a decline in cases, as I think we've started to see, at least here in BC.
It's gone down.
It's gone down. I think by the end of the year, it should be well maintained, especially because the vaccine rollout by then will be maybe 12 months to roll out the vaccine.
I mean, they put out a lot, and it's only been a month and a half.
Actually, speaking of that, did you see, I believe it was Israel's incredible vaccination? They got like 75% of the country done.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did have a head start. They were like they volunteered to be tested on for the vaccine, but
still it worked. Crazy numbers.
Yeah, I mean, all fair play to Israel.
Although I believe there's some slightly cautious news about the efficiency of the vaccine.
Yeah, well, not to get into any politics about Israel. That's not a fun place to go. Definitely very...
Nope.
Not going to even bring up the fact about that. But just off of the vaccine alone, what about that news? On the vaccine and solely the vaccine and nothing else happening in that country? At all.
What do you mean, just the vaccine news, Zach?
Just speak on that. You said there was some vaccine news, that it was bad news.
Oh, well, no news other than the fact that some reports, not all, are showing that it might be only a 60%, 65% immunity after the first shot, which is a lot less than the 90% that was quoted. Which is just a little bit alarming.
That's a bit of a decrease, wouldn't you say?
I mean, the numbers could be fake news, Zach. But it is a bit of a decrease if we are considering that it is true. And again, a couple arguments that have been put through is, A, it's just the first shot, so the second shot still could bump it up to a certain extent. And also, it might take a little bit of a while for the vaccines to fully... to fully activate and for the body to fully, you know, produce the and understand how to produce the antibodies, which is a valid point. It could take a while for the body to fully respond and figure out how to deal with it. But it's still not a welcome fact that it could be that low.
You know, we don't like to focus on the buts and the ifs, all right? We like to focus on the numbers that we want to focus on. There's no... You know, I've heard a fun term called the selection bias, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it, because it's just not true. I can focus on whatever I want, and I can't be judged for it. So, COVID is cured. That's my opinion. There's no selection bias, because it just doesn't exist. I saw one Facebook post. Israel, I beat you. So, yeah. Thanks, guys. I beat Israel in just curing COVID.
I think at the end of the day, though... No matter what, if the actual immunity rate is not the 95% that they quoted and is instead maybe like an 80%, I think that's still very good. And
it's good but unresting. Unsettling.
I think the unsettling part is just the fact that the vaccine manufacturers didn't have the correct numbers in the first place, or they were trying to blow it up to try and get sales, which again, economic value, they wanted to get their money. You can always expect some kind of corporate greed, but especially from vaccine companies, you want to assume that they're giving you the most truthful results. And
in a state of crisis.
In a state of crisis, especially for how quickly they brought this out. And the test, again, we've talked on the podcast how we don't exactly love the way they tested this vaccine. But I still think, obviously, it's well worth it to take the vaccine. More than
the concern would be.
And especially if, even if you're not at risk, when you get the chance to get it, as I will, I want to do it because obviously we want to get our lives back. Everyone wants to. We're going to wait because we're not going to just, you know, imagine if COVID just starts spreading and, you know, we actually kill off a whole bunch of people. We don't want to do that. But when we have the chance to get the vaccine, I'm going to get it because I want to go back to playing hockey. We all want to, and I think the vaccine will let you do that. Even if you don't think you're at risk, it's still a good thing.
Think of others. That's really the message.
Think
you
of others,
take.
Exactly.
Think of others. Don't be so self-centered.
And I know that there are people saying, well, it's, you know, it's not affecting me, and we could just do something to protect the people at risk, which is true. The government hasn't really done anything to really protect the people at risk.
Other than make everyone stay at home.
Yep.
But still.
I think the thing that could have been done, which, you know... is reevaluate their plans, which I think is something that the government seems very unwilling to do. But again, this isn't a political podcast.
What do you mean? We don't talk about that stuff here. You don't come here for politics.
Unless you do, then you came to the wrong place.
Yeah, you should leave.
You should.
We should leave. If you're one of the four, leave.
Well, Zach, four. Mm-hmm. Those are the four people who originally started this podcast. No way they're listening now.
Max, if we'd lose like 25% viewership if one person left, we can't really talk about that.
Sorry. I mean, stay, please. I mean, yeah. We're definitely a political podcast. Yeah, if you want to stay, yeah.
Come here for politics, grammar, science, math, anything your heart can imagine. Somewhere, we'll talk about it briefly.
So I suppose we should sort of wrap up the episode. So do you have any final kind of concerns, questions, or any thoughts about the variants and just mutations and anything else like that?
Are you scared?
Me, personally, no.
Not at all?
I'm not very scared. I think, based off the odds, I don't think I'm at risk of dying or getting any severe infections from it. Obviously, I am concerned for other people who are actually at risk, which is why I follow the health orders and stuff, even if I sometimes feel like they could have done it better. I'm not concerned. I think the vaccines are always good, and it could reduce the low chance of me even getting it in the first place to zero, which is always good. And I think these variants shouldn't affect us too badly in the age and health group we are in.
With the knowledge we have, you're not worried.
I'm not too worried.
You think we'll be able to handle it?
Again, I am edging my bets that the variants are moving towards transmissibility. Of course, this could be false, but based off past experiences with the fact that the common cold is a coronavirus, and it could have been, you know, the same semi-experience, obviously, we wouldn't know. But, you know, I feel like it makes sense to, again, edge our bets towards it going there.
Yeah, I could support that. I mean, it really comes down to the will of the people.
Yeah, it does. Because if we don't treat it properly, then we could get, you know, let it keep mutating, and we could get a deadly one that spreads if we're not careful, and then we could have an actual problem on our hands. Because, you know, the transmissibility ones, at least they're not more deadly. But if we get a more deadly one and we let it be transmitted through our mistakes, then it will become an actual problem. But I think some of us can handle it.
Keyword, some.
And with that being said, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast for today. So,
look at that. He's just the smoothest man I've ever seen. He can turn anything into a transition, and he just did it again there.
So with that being said, I hope you guys have a safe and fantastic rest of your day, and make sure to take it to the max. Goodbye.